bad dreams and all. We're now going to spend some time with some technical things, some clear-cut directions, but again, I'm in a room full of technical experts, so a whole lot of it's going to be viewpoint and experience, as well as technical information. We opened our minds to the Spirit last night and surrendered. Please don't spend 6 weeks deciding whether you surrendered entirely, surrendered correctly, surrendered. You surrendered. Everybody set aside self for a moment and joined in brotherly and harmonious action, which was prayer, which was saying this prayer. And let's take a quick look at the prayer and then we'll move forward. Because I believe everything from the Word God on to the Amen at the end of what we call the seven-step prayer is all part of this prayer. This just opens the door. First thing that happens with the prayer is we invoke the presence of God. We say, God. That's the opening of a conversation. If I wanted to talk to you, I would call you by name. And you would say, huh? And I expect he probably does the same thing, because what I got last night, I was exhausted. I don't know about you. We spent the whole afternoon deliberately wearing you out. So you'd be in a position to say, let's say this prayer so we can go to bed. Okay. I'd be done with it. And that's what this whole process is about, getting to a place where I can say, let me be done with this. God, and he says, huh? Here's what I need. I'm offering myself to you to build with me and to do with me as you will. At this point, my life is no longer my business. My ambition is gone. That's what it says. I have to interpret that. Build with me and do with me as you wish, not as I wish. Where's room for ambition in there? What do I want to be when I grow up? I don't want to grow up, first of all. And I don't have a clue, if that happens to be God's will, as to what that's going to look like. I've met a couple adults in my life. I'm not altogether sure I want to be one of them. Stogie and... well, never mind. Relieve me of the bondage of self. And I'm not going to say what it does say. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, relieve me of the bondage of self so I get to feel better. It does say, relieve me of the bondage of self so I can better do your will. So I can do what you want me to do, because when self's in the way, I won't do that. That's clear. I'm admitting total defeat here. I'm not even going to get out of bed this morning without your help. Yeah. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Bondage. I am tied to it. I can't get away from it. I'm entrapped by it. I'm in chains to self. Relieve me of that bondage. Let me out of this prison that I have built in my mind and in my emotions. Relieve me of that. Somewhere along in this process, my prison cell became a sanctuary. Consciously, I realized that monks live in cells also. They're about the same size. In fact, they have fewer amenities than I did. I at least had a toilet in there with me. Most monasteries I've been to, it's down the hall. And it turned. It was all about attitude. Take away my difficulties, so the victory over them will bear witness to those I want to help that you can do this. That you can take away my difficulties. And these aren't my utter difficulties. My utter difficulties, if we have been paying attention to this, is the ones I have created. My problems are of my own making. The difficulties I need to have removed with the difficulties I was having being honest, willing, letting go of self, I have difficulties with that. The fact is, when I came to this piece here, my life was not unmanageable. My utter life was being managed 24 hours a day very nicely, thank you. I knew what to wear and when to wear it, where to go, what to say, who to talk to, who not to talk to. It was very nicely managed. Every minute was planned out for me. What's unmanageable is this thing up here, my thinking life. So relieve me, remove these difficulties so I can better do what you'd have me do. And what are some of the difficulties? We're going to look at them. Resentment, fear, self-centeredness, Those are the difficulties I have doing God's will, nothing else. By the way, I want to thank whoever it was that got me a new supply of watchtowers. Some lovely person, and I don't even want to know who, because I just love them, left me some new watchtowers and a message from God, suit up and show up on Colfax. So if I ever run out of 12-step work, you have given me a second line of retreat. I know what to do next. Thank you. It's wonderful. What an idea. So the victory over these difficulties. You need to know that I don't have those difficulties anymore. God's removed them. Doesn't mean I'm not subject to self from time to time, but if I'm going to help you at all, you've got to know you can overcome this deal. With God's help, you can set aside self long enough to be of use to somebody. May I do thy will always. Be careful of that one. He'll answer that one. Talked to somebody last night who was getting ready to poke somebody in the nose and instead apologized and made amends and doesn't know where that came from. Well, we know where that came from. But that'll shock you when you're ready to pull your sword out and instead you get a pencil. And with that, then, we enter into a relationship whose first chore is to clean the house, find the difficulties, and be rid of them. I hear a lot of the ritualistic stuff about promises. It bothers me. All the promises I keep hearing are just checklists. But they are also promises. But they're not events. They're the result. They're not something to strive for. They are the result of. Once I get into this mode, willing to do God's will and willing to do whatever it takes to clear away the self that stops me, then I will be able to look the world in the eye. Once I am willing to straighten up my past, why can't I look the world in the eye? What are you going to do, hurt me? I don't think so. I'll find that I am useful to somebody. All those promises will come true once I get this done. So what are the things standing in my way? Fear, resentment, selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, all aspects of self. If it weren't for the promise on page 64, I could not have gone through with this whole process. I did think, now, as I told you, I didn't hit my kids ever. I was not that kind of abuser. But my kids were on the road with me. I used them to smuggle dope. I used them to get food and lodging. I did things to my children that damaged my children. Now, how am I going to live with that? Just the thought of it made me want to kill myself. It tells me how I'm going to live with that. That this inventory process we're about to enter into is a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us from God. It has no other purpose. If you're doing it as an intellectual exercise to find out who you are, you're being silly. It's an effort to find out who you're not, so you can get rid of that, and then whoever you are will just show up. Okay. I don't want to ever repeat the kind of thinking that allows me to repeat the kind of activity that harmed my children. I want to be rid of it. And there's your promise. If I'll comply with certain things, I will have a new mind. I will not be able to think in such a way that I could do that. Guess what? I haven't smuggled any dope for 32 years. It doesn't cross my mind. It's not in my mind. If you called me and asked me to do it today, I'd have to say, no, thank you. I don't do that anymore. Why are you calling me? Well, the people that do that haven't called me for all those years either. They know I don't do that anymore. And because of that, I can live with it. My garbage doesn't stink anymore. I did what I did, and I need to straighten it out, but I can't do that again. See, for somebody who's desperately angry and guilty and ashamed, I've got to know I can't do that again. On my own, living with self, I will do that again. But today I can't because of it. Isn't that a lovely promise? If you'll simply do this, you won't be able to do those things again. And that pays the spiritual debt. You all know about karma, I'm sure. Alcoholics have read everything there is to read about everything. What goes around comes around. Okay? That's just the law of the universe. As you dish it out, you're going to have it dished back. Put in any words you want. Okay? And there are a number of ways of paying those kinds of debt. One that we must do, we're told here, is make direct restitution. I must directly try to set straight the wrong I have done. But that isn't how I get free. I'm free before I do that. I'm free by reaching a state of mind, a state of being, where I'm no longer capable of committing the act. That pays the debt. Spiritually, psychically, cosmically, that pays the debt. Now, once I pay the debt, I'm now obliged to show you how to do the same thing so you can get free, so you can show somebody else how to get free, so they can show somebody else how to get free. And then I have to find some way to make direct amends. We don't get out from under the psychic debt because we're really... You think you were bad people? You were. I said to my sponsor one time, I feel so guilty. And he said, you should. Because you are. Oh, and the truth set me free. There's no need to whine about that one anymore. Let's get on about the business and not being able to do this anymore. That's what it says. Face and be rid of the things in myself that are blocking me. And that becomes a guide now in my present life. If I am feeling any sense of separation from the God within, I know precisely what to do about it. I don't have to go ask anybody. I will go through this little process and find out what aspect of self is it that I've suddenly said, come on out and play, that's causing that, because that's all that ever causes it. And it still works. Face and be rid of. I just did an inventory a few months ago. A one-pager, by the way. If you're looking for somebody who can show you how to do 40 pages of 10-step, you got the wrong guy. I won't live long enough. One page. It's over. Now, the next day there may be another page, but today, let's get to the truth. See, I know something that this says. My only trouble is selfishness and self-centeredness. That's the root of it. And I'm going to talk a little about that. I come from a country where we have trees. I haven't seen much here. Well, I haven't. Y'all cut them down and put buildings up where they used to be. But trees and bushes are something I'm familiar with. And I know how to make a bush bushier. Cut off some branches. One of the basics of getting things to grow is to take parts of them away. You want good corn? Go out in the field at a certain time and pull what they call the suckers, the extra stuff. You cull it. You clean out the stuff. You want a good bush? Cut at the right time, you cut the bushes off. I just had an apple tree a while back that was in the way. We had two apple trees in the yard, and that meant for about a month we didn't have grass, we had apples in various stages of decay. When you have two apple trees and one little tiny family, you can't eat that many apples. And I discovered that you may love me, but you don't want my apples. And the squirrels were using one of the trees to leap onto the drain and burrow under the roof. That apple tree had to go. So I cut it down. Now, if that's all I do is cut off the branches, it'll make it grow better. More branches will come. It'll grow better. If I cut the tree down and don't do anything about the stump, it'll start putting out new shoots pretty soon. I've got one tree I do like. And instead of buying a second tree, I left it alone and let the new shoots come out. Now I've got two trees. Okay, you got to get to the root of the problem and kill the roots. Or cutting off the edges will just make it grow better. So if you use this as a device, a problem-solving device to cut off the edges of self, be careful, because it'll bush again. And self will look spiritual. I know, I've done that. My ego is such it can turn spiritual things into the devil, if you will. Okay? Get to the root of it. What's the root? Selfishness and self-centeredness. That's all. That's the root of the problem. That's what he says. That's what we got to go after. And then it makes an interesting statement. It talks about resentment being the number one killer. Now, early on, we didn't read it, but it's there and you've read it. We are asked from this point in our lives on to ask ourselves, what do these spiritual terms mean to me? I need to set aside prejudice I have about words and terms and ask myself, what do they mean to me? I learned early on, very damn little, I had never thought about terms. I was talking about what they meant to you when I was with you, and then what they meant to you when I was with you. I didn't have any. I didn't know what they meant. So let's take a look at resentment. First of all, this book says that resentment is a spiritual disease. It is not an emotional condition. Don't take my word for it. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. Well, if it is the granddaddy of spiritual diseases, it must be a hummer. Why is it so serious? It kills more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. We've not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. But when our spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Isn't that nice? I was afraid I was going to have to spend my life on a psychiatrist's couch trying to sort out what I had already failed to sort out in 34 years. So, no, don't worry about that. Straighten out spiritually, you got a new mind, you don't have to sort a damn thing. Okay. My alcoholic mind is still there. It just is disconnected. It's of no use to me whatsoever. I never use it. Except when I need to show you what it looks like, so that you understand that I understand. Then I drag it out. Okay. Why is resentment so serious? We talked earlier about this disease being one of separation. I have a sense that I don't belong, I don't fit, I'm separated, I'm different, I'm weird. However it was you experienced it, we're separated. It's no wonder I felt alone. I discovered through going through all of this that you never really existed for me. There was me and whoever I needed you to be to satisfy who I was. And that's all you were. You weren't even real. No wonder I was alone. You got it. Yeah. Anything that separates me from the children of God will separate me from God. Simple. And because I can't get lofty, despite my compatriots' charge, see, I have attitudes about spirituality. I thought being spiritual meant that it would go boom. I would get a jacket with patches on the elbow and a little pipe. And a place on Lookout Mountain where the peasants could come by while I dispensed a little wisdom. God, I don't know where these ideas come from. One other time I thought I'd give Billy Graham a run for the money. I mean, what the hell? Anything that separates me from the children of God will separate me from God. So I get to look at the things that are separating me from you. And resentment is the big one. And there's two things happen with resentment. It tells us about them. If I resent you, you own me. You can be dead. You can be in another city. It doesn't matter. If I resent you, you own me because you are running my mind. And I am really sick of being owned by the kind of people that piss me off. Ah, he's a good one. That's a different way of saying what the book says. It tells us over here the same thing. We begin to see the world and its people really dominated us. That's all. They own me. And if I'm separated from you, I cannot be communicating with God. The great master mentioned that one time. He says, if you're pissed at somebody, if you have something against your brother, go get it straightened out or you can't get into the temple. Well, we know the temple's within. We just went through that yesterday. It's here. I can't get here if I'm locked here in an argument with you. And I don't have the power to stop that. I wake up and there it goes. That son of a bitch. If I'd have just said this, then he'd have said that. And I'd have wanged him with this one. And then I'd have brought him in from the outside. In fact, I think I'll go see him this morning and tell him what a son of a bitch he is. I'm not even out of bed yet. And I've got a war going on. How in the world am I going to pray? The only prayer I'm going to have is, give me a bigger army than his. Okay. Give me the courage to actually take this out of my head. I never argued with people. I argued with people here in my head. Okay. I would undermine you. My favorite weapon was rumor mongering. Building allies, undermining you, okay, in very noble ways, sickening stuff. Okay. Now, we're high drama people. I'm ready. I'll take on this idea. I'm ready now, by God, we're going to take care of this resentment. How are we going to do that? Well, when I was 19, they had me mock up my dad's face on a punching bag and punch it so I could express my anger. Absolutely loved it. Got to beat that old bastard every day. It didn't diminish anything. It just intensified it. And I got sick of it because I really wasn't that mad at my dad. I got tired of that. Okay, I didn't feel right about doing that. It didn't do me a bit of good. So all that, there's a school that says if somebody did something wrong to you, go tell them that they did something wrong to you. And how bad that made you feel, and shame on them. Please don't do that here. That's not this path. Okay. So what do we get to do? We get to put it on paper. Now let me tell you how we do this technically. I use what's known as a checklist method. I just call it that. We are now into specific instructions. And so as we go through the next few sentences, it's very easy to just ask the question, have we done that yet? So you come to my house, we've gotten this far, it's time for you to write inventory. What does it say to do? Well, in dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. Have we done that yet? No, because we don't know how. We don't know how. Keep that in mind. From here on, the reason we're getting instructions is because we don't know how. Don't go doing something if you don't know how to do it. You'll do it wrong. I did. I didn't read this. It said, put them on paper. So I ran off and spent 2 hours writing inventory, putting down the worst things I'd ever done. My sponsor wouldn't even look at it. Said it was garbage. Well, it was. It was garbage. We don't know how. If this book is going to be true to us, then I have to assume it's going to tell me how. So let's look. Does it tell us how? Oh, yeah. We listed people, institutions, and principles with whom we were angry. Okay, go home. Our session's over. Until we've both done that, we have nothing more to talk about. Don't call me with any kind of a problem. I'm going to ask you if you put it, is it on the paper? Okay. People, institutions, and principles. Should have that done by sometime this afternoon. Come back. Mine will be done. I'm working with a fellow right now. Last Sunday, we got through the first three steps because he's been sober 10 years. We don't have to have 6 weeks of writing first steps and all that crap. We spent an afternoon, did the third step prayer, and now we're doing inventory. Mine's done. I did it on the airplane coming out here. I don't have time to wait for him. Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning, he and I are going to fifth step whatever he's got. And I'm going to fifth step with him, although I've already done that too. I don't have any time to waste. I have no more defenses against psychic pain. Anyway, so We got a list of people, institutions, and principles. Alcoholic minds are wonderful. We can spend 3 weeks trying to define what that means. Have you ever done that? What's a principle? Well, that's a good question from people who have none. Be patient. Of course they ask that. We would know a principle if it came by. Okay. There's a difference between institutions and people. I have no problem at all with police officers, but I think cops are ridiculous. It's an attitude I went in with. And I was clearly, it was clear there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between my resentment for the law and for the court and for a particular judge. They're different, and they all need to go down there because they are different. I have no problem with law. I truly don't. Unjust laws, out comes my sword. I have to be careful because quite often the only reason, the only definition I have for injustice is I didn't get my own way. So I have to be very careful with that. So we got our instructions. We ask ourselves why we were angry. And they give us a lovely thing here. I can take any brand new person who still smells bad and do this. All it's saying is who are you mad at and why are you mad at them. That's easy. That's all I'm thinking of anyway. That's what's dominating my mind. What a lovely process. I'll cooperate with this. I'm going to get to vent. We find out what it is that's doing to our life. My perception of your misbehavior is affecting my self-esteem, how I feel about me. I'm mad at you because you didn't give me enough of whatever the hell it was I was trying to get from you. Which tells me you don't think well of me. And if you don't think well of me, who am I? And on and on and on. You can... But this is even simpler than that. We found our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions and personal relations, including sex, were hurt or threatened. And that's my constant guide. There's nothing fancy about this. Some aspect of self is either being hurt or threatened. And what I'm going after these days is to find out why your behavior should threaten me. It shouldn't. But it does. We're wonderful. 100 people come by and tell me, you're wonderful. One leaves without saying goodbye and it screws my whole day up. There was a time I'd have followed him out. And ignored the 100 who thought that I was wonderful to find out why he didn't. Huh? You've done that, have you? Yeah, we are so silly. We go into this thing looking for Attila the Hun. I did, and I came out finding a little boy that wet his pants. Okay? It's silliness. We make a grudge list. We set opposite each name our injuries. So if you want to get technical and say, do I do this with each one? That's what it says. Yeah, opposite each name, set aside your injuries. And the outline they give us tells us that there are sometimes more than one reason I'm mad at somebody. In fact, most of the time, there's more than one reason. And am I supposed to put what's affected by each one? Well, that's what it says. I don't know whether it's good or bad. That's just what it says. This is a point in time where Bob White's words still ring in my ear. He said, all we have to do here, all we ever do here, is comply with the conditions, which immediately locks every alcoholic mind in the world. Comply? No thanks. I'd rather think about it. Let's do what it says. And it's very simple. It's laid out here. And when I'm doing it, I really am... As loose as I am, when we get to this point, I'm a martinet with me. And if you're going to be with me, you're going to get that same thing. Don't go any further than this. We don't know how. This is all we've been told to do. Get this done. Okay? It says we go back through our lives. People call and ask me, where do I start? says we go back through our lives. So I assume that means I start now and go on back. One of the great distractions of my ego is it will go back from here and start at 4 or 5 where it can't really remember clearly. And so it's instantly baffled and gets lost and the inventory doesn't get done. Okay. So when do we finish this part? And that's what it says to do, right? Finish this part. Don't go any further. When we finish this part, we consider it carefully. If I'm going to give you anything at all this entire weekend, it's the next 10 minutes. I think they are more critical than anything else we do. The information that comes next is more important than how you write or what you write or anything that I know of, because it describes how the new mind is going to think and it tells me precisely how I get rid of resentment. I don't get rid of resentment by writing it. But let's see what it says. The first thing apparent, if we've done this list, is that the world and its people were often quite wrong. Filled a narcotics agent in a raid in my home, almost shot my 4-year-old. They came through the front door and through the back door and through the side window. That's how they come. They don't know how to knock. Knocked me to the ground, stood on my neck, because they are trained how to stand on necks. That's part of the job. Called me some really ugly names. I've been in the Navy and in the Orient and climbed several mountains. I'd never heard some of the stuff this big cop was saying. And my 4-year-old let out a shriek and he swung around with his pistol and almost shot him. I learned to hate that man on the spot. Carried it for a long, long time. He hit my inventory, of course. Very clear. The world knows people are often quite wrong. Yeah, he's wrong. That's as far as most of us ever got. That's as far as I ever got. That's the wrong way to treat people. I don't care who you are. It's the wrong way to treat people. Particularly me. You don't have to stand on my neck. Just tell me, be quiet. Now, that's bullshit. I tried to shoot 2 police officers and a newspaper reporter one night in a drunken rage. So that's a lie. You don't. If you catch me at the wrong time, I'm a dangerous animal. Anyway, he made my list. To conclude others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome is that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Oh, my goodness, that's cold. You mean I keep doing the same thing over and over to the same people and they keep retaliating? Yeah. So who's wrong? Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore ourselves. I've never put myself on an inventory. I don't believe in making amends to myself either, by the way. But there is precedent for it here. There are times when it's appropriate. For me, I don't do it because, for me, if I put myself on an inventory, I assume I could have done better and I couldn't have. I'm just assuming that, and it's from this list that I will get my amends list, by the way. I don't belong here. But sometimes it is remorse, and then we're sore ourselves. So if it's appropriate, do it. There's just no amends you're going to make to yourself. It's plain that a life that includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. We're stepping into our new mind. That's a whole new way of thinking. Did you hear that? Is it plain to you that a life that includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness? If it isn't plain, you won't let go of it when it's necessary. Resentment is a weapon for me. It's one of the ways I defend myself against what I think is a hostile world. This is not a hostile world. There is hostile things happen in it, but it's not a hostile world. In fact, this is God's amusement park planet. This is a fun place. I'm quite sure where we went last night, some people won't go because it appears hostile. We had a ball. We ate lemon ice and watched them play bocce and watched people moving on the street that made me a little nervous. It's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. That's a whole new thought. That's the beginning of how we're going to get free. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that may have been worthwhile? And I love that word, squander. And there's a word that talks about me. Wasting is one thing. Squandering is consciously wasting it. Look at all the goodies I have. I just won the lottery. Tear up the ticket. To prove a point, I would do that. So would you. I'll show you. I'll kill myself. God Almighty. You think this is bad? Watch the next one. Squander my life energy. Squander my who I am. Oh, it's a great word. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, we find that resentment is infinitely grave. It always gets back to the street on this path. If I can find no other motivation, ever, and quite often it's not noble, it's just the simple knowledge that if I don't do this, I'm going to live an ugly life and eventually die an ugly death. Death does not frighten me. I've dealt with lots and lots of alcoholics. Death is an answer most of the time. Not, how are you going to scare me with death when all I can think of is, please God, let me out of here. But an ugly life, I can't think of that. That just terrifies me. Yeah. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. It's a whole new thought. It just once and for all takes care of justifiable anger, doesn't it? It doesn't say, if we were to live, we had to be free of all anger except justifiable anger. It says we must be free of anger. How am I going to do that? I'm consumed by it. It's my life force. Without it, I'm cooked. I don't know how to act any other way. You know, it's my last defense. I don't care who it is. I learned early on, if you got too close to the truth and I threw a fit, I won. People don't want to be around folks that are going to the edge and ready to go, whum. And I can do it that quick. I can scare the crap out of you. And you'll back off. And you're asking me to be free of that? Whoa. How am I going to spend those long nights comforting myself, because there's nobody else, without a good supply of anger to get me through the night? Absolutely. If it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be awake at 2:30. You son of a bitch. A whole new thought. Get the thought. I must be free of anger. It does not say, nor is there any indication that it isn't going to come up from time to time. Of course it will. It's a natural human emotion. But it says I must be free of it. When it does, I've got to do certain things. But at this point, I really need to be free of this consuming. We've asked God to remove the bondage of self. Well, there's a great big piece of it. Anger. Resentment. Replayed anger. You can define it a lot of ways, and a lot of people have, so I won't. Okay. It's a little kid being pissed off because he didn't get his own way. Only I've been exercising that for so long, it's now a big kid pissed off because he didn't get his own way. All right, we have to be free of it. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. Man, that's bad news. But there's a whole new way of thinking. I mean, I love brainstorming. Flashes of lightning and thunder, boom, boom, boom. And the grouch is one of the finest weapons for getting your own way that ever came out. Well, I mean, nice people can only stand just so much of that crap. And then they'll give you what you want just to shut you up. Or to get you to talk. That was one of my favorites. What's wrong with you? Nothing. If you don't know by now, I'm not going to tell you. Why are you asking me? You don't really care anyway. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for the alcoholic, these things are poison. They're trying to get into my mind the fact that, right or wrong, this attitude will kill me. I must be free of it. I no longer have the right to be angry on a sustained basis. I have no longer have a right to defend myself. It's all beginning to slip away. Anger is my defense. If I can't use anger, I can't defend myself either, can I? You're making me awful vulnerable. You're taking away my stuff. But if I don't get that idea, I'm not going to get through this. So we turn back to the list. So we get our inventory out again and go back and look at it. We're prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. And here's a new mind. Do you hear that? I'm going to look at what I just put down, which is all the reasons I'm mad at you, and I'm going to look at it from a different angle. And I don't know how to do that. I just put it down. If I could have done it any differently, I would have. This is what I've got. This is all I can think of. We began to see the world as people really dominated us. The wrongdoing of others, whether fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. And I did a stupid thing. I went to my sponsor and asked him, how do I tell the difference between fancied and real? And he said, if you're involved in it, it's fancied. Now, one of these things, one time, I got one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. A young person was at the retreat and was buttoned down. Combat gear, literally. Camouflage. Button here, button here, button here, camouflage cap, shut off from the world. And we came to that part where he says, our troubles of our own making, which is what we're saying here. And she said to me, my grandfather molested me when I was 5 years old. What in the world could I have done that brought that on?